Okay, good morning, everyone. Today is December 16th, and thanks for joining this, the 54th Peer Insight Research Meeting. My name is Dave Vellante, and I'll be your host today. The topic for this morning's discussion is EMC directions. And we are gathering in the heels of last week's analyst meeting held at EMC's corporate headquarters in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. And the Wikibon community is going to discuss what we heard. In attendance at that meeting and on the call today are a number of Wikibon members and contributors. Let me introduce them. Dennis Martin of DemarkTech. Dennis is an analyst and a consultant and a performance expert who runs a lab in Colorado. Nick Allen, are you on? Okay, well, Nick hopefully will be joining us. Nick is the principal of the Todd Point Group and used to head Gartner's storage service. Bill Mottram is here from Veridicus Associates, formerly with Storage Tech, HP, Compaq, Copan, and others. And Gary McFadden, who covers the archiving space and has been a presence in this industry for a number of years at Meta and Giga and IDC and the Robert Francis Group, is also on. And, our own David Foyer, hopefully, is joining us from Mountain View. David, are you on yet? If not, I'm sure you will be shortly. So welcome, everybody. It's good to have you here. As most of you know, the Wikibon Peer Insight is a bi-monthly conference call where we talk about how technologies align and support the development of end-user business capabilities. I want to ask that if you're not speaking on the call, to please mute your line by hitting 4-star, and then 4-star unmuted if you want to participate. This call is being recorded and will last 1 hour. So typically the way Peer Insights work is a question is posted up on Wikibon's Ask a Question forum, and we had a number of questions about EMC leading up to last week's meeting, and we'll try to address those today and in the research wiki in the coming days. We have lots of ground to cover. It was a two-day meeting, a two-day event at EMC. It was originally scheduled in an amphitheater at the Harvard Medical School. It was moved to a rather large and unassuming room at EMC in Hopkinton, and no one seemed to mind. EMC was trying to save a little bit of money given these difficult times, and that's certainly understandable. So what I'll do is I'm going to open it up to – I'm going to ask specifically some questions of the analysts that attended the meeting, and then in due time we'll open it up to the other callers, and feel free to chime in at any time and ask a question. But we do want to make sure we cover – certain aspects of the meeting that we felt are critical. Let me start by mentioning Joe Tucci and the other senior EMC business heads did not attend the meeting. I wanted to ask the folks that did attend, did you feel like that was a slight on the analyst community?
Not sure if I would say it was a slight or not. Bill Mottram talking. I was disappointed that they did not appear, but probably I'm I would depress my ego and not take it as a slight, just a disappointment.
Yeah, this is Dennis. I wasn't too concerned about it, given that they were making a big announcement that day. They kind of had to figure, you know, you can't be in two places at once. You got to pick one.
So we did hear from Senior Vice President of Marketing, BJ Jenkins, who showed some impressive financial figures, 21 consecutive quarters of double-digit revenue growth. That was a Q3 revenue of $3.7 billion, up 13%. Non-GAAP EPS up even higher at 14%. Recession, what recession? But, you know, seriously, Jenkins made a case, attempted to make the case, that EMC in this downturn is in a much stronger position than it was in the 2001 downturn, for those of you who remember that, when EMC was mostly, as in his words, paraphrasing, a slow-to-change, premium-priced hardware company with a high-end focus and a weak balance sheet. As Warren Buffett said, nobody knows who's swimming naked until the tide goes out. And Jenkins argued that EMC has a much broader portfolio today, is far more responsive, and has the industry's strongest balance sheet. In fact, Jenkins flatly stated EMC will gain share in its top markets. So folks that attended the meeting, do you buy that?
I'd certainly think that they are positioned to be able to make inroads into the marketplace, but their competitive colleagues out there are certainly not going to sit back and easily let that happen. So I admire and respect their enthusiasm, but time will tell if that will result into a produced result, should I say.
So I'm gonna ask actually if you guys can really speak loudly into the call, I'd really appreciate it. Okay, so I think contrasting the 2001 downturn, where EMC really seemed to be swimming with no clothes on, versus this time around with a much stronger balance sheet and a broader portfolio, you're saying the question remains as to whether or not they'll gain share. We asked Jenkins if EMC would cut prices, and they suggested that they would selectively cut prices in various markets, emerging markets in particular, but not necessarily across the board. Now, isn't it true that EMC's nearly 80% of EMC's revenue comes from its core information storage business, and VMware is really the only piece that's exploding, although the other pieces are growing generally faster than the industry? So the question to the table is, can EMC continue to grow this core business faster than the rest of the industry, given that customers are looking at 20, 30, and 50% budget cuts in 2009? David Florida, are you on?
Dave, it's Josh. I was not in the meeting, but in my opinion, you cannot compare between 2001 and today. In 2001, the main product of EMC was Symmetrix. And they got competition from IBM and Hitachi. They were not alone in the market. It's true that today they have a very wide portfolio of products. However, the core products are, I am not sure that they are getting market share. On the high end, as far as I know, they are losing slowly the market share on the DMX. Clarion is doing well. However, there are two clouds about black clouds about Clarion. One of them is that Dell purchased Equalogic, and already the percentage of sales dropped from 35% to 32%, which Dell is selling. And the second thing is that Fujitsu Siemens computer will be Fujitsu. And the question is how long it will continue to sell EMC. It's one of the biggest DMX sellers or resellers of EMC. So expanding on other, yes. The core business, I am skeptical.
Okay, so the core business, which is growing faster than the industry at double-digit growth, Josh, you're saying you're skeptical. One thing was clear at the meeting.
On what? On DMX? No. On DMX, they lost 3% of the market share. They are not growing on DMX at all.
So just in aggregate, if you look at the core storage business, I think the number they gave was 13% maybe for the information storage business, which made up about almost 80% of their business. And I'm pretty certain that the overall storage business is not growing at double digits. So that would suggest, notwithstanding perhaps in certain high-end segments that aren't growing as fast, that across the board they seem to be growing faster than the industry in the core business. And that, I think, includes hardware and software, if I'm not mistaken. But one thing was clear at the meeting. They plan to stay close to the customer. They had a big emphasis on total customer experience and its customer loyalty program. Bill Mottram, you were at SDK during the heyday of the customer advisory boards and customer satisfaction surveys, and Fred Moore, you may be in the call as well.
I'm on the call.
Hi, Fred. Mark Peters is an ESG analyst, and at the EMC meeting, he sort of raised his hand and said, I was at a company once, and I think he was talking about StorageTek, and I heard a lot about customer experience, but I don't really buy it. He was a little skeptical. So my question for you guys who maybe were at StorageTek is EMC doing anything different that's more sustainable, in your opinion?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah, I would say that the StorageTek methodology for customer advisory boards was excellent. And from a product issue and a definition perspective, much was gained from those sessions. That is only part of a TCE program. The StorageTek, there was a lot of enthusiasm expressed for these programs that did not match the reality of the implementation when revenue issues tended to dominate the priorities. It remains to be seen if EMC has the staying power, as the business environment gets tougher. But judging from the presentation that we heard, I would say that EMC have improved the science of TCE measurements quite a bit, actually, from the early STK days. And from what we were told, they have put some teeth into the program with compensation being tied to results. So it remains to be seen how successful they are going forward.
Now, Bill, I'm going to ask again if you could just speak up when you talk. Your line's a little light. So I think the key point you were making is they are tying compensation to the results. And the other observation I would make is that they seem to be investing in the statistics and analytics and certainly have some competent folks in charge of that. We are going to move quickly at this meeting because I want to touch all bases. The next question, we heard from Catherine Winkler, who heads
corporate. Let me just one sentence. Customer relation is something achieved with the years. I don't know any company with any storage company with better customer relation than Storage Tech. And it will take years to get that, if at all.
Okay. Josh, I'm going to ask you to hold off 1 second so we can get through the agenda items of the meeting. We just want to touch on some key points, cloud, security,
okay,
and other flash and other aspects. I want to make sure we have time to do that. So I'm going to go pretty quickly here. We heard from Catherine Winkler, who heads corporate sustainability. Question for the folks who were there, and I guess specifically David. David Floyd, are you on? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am. I think my line was muted before.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
To you. Is EMC a leader or a follower in green?
Well, EMC is definitely a follower. Up until now, I certainly haven't heard Joe Tucci or any of the senior EMC people emphasize green at all. Catherine has got a promotion. There seems to be an organizational change to look at this more seriously, and they've done some interesting things. But at the moment, this is still a work in progress and still very much a follower compared with Sun or IBM or many other large organizations in the U.S.
Hold on a minute. So we heard about, from EMC, a major focus on operations, attacking electricity consumption in EMC's labs and facilities, where, you know, the production of products oftentimes exceeds, in terms of consumption of electricity, exceeds the use of products. Telecommuting initiatives, water conservation, waste management. EMC said they saved 150 million kilowatt hours in the past decade. So I guess my question is, you mentioned IBM and Sun. Who in the storage business do you see as doing more?
Well, IBM and Sun are both in the in the storage business. Certainly IBM is. Who are purely storage vendors? Hitachi. If you look at Hitachi's overall green corporate program, it is a soup to nuts program. It includes both the design of products, the manufacture of products, the ecosystem, both of suppliers and partners. So it is a soup to nuts program, which is being implemented over many years with specific milestones and specific goals. So if you compare EMC against internationally against European Japanese and other companies, the U.S. in general is behind, and EMC is behind the average of the U.S. So they're very much in the starting blocks, and to be honest, I'm not sure that they've really bought in to whether green is actually necessary for corporations to actually embrace. I think it seems to be more of a just-in-case type of activity rather than the real embracing of it, but time will tell.
Bill, you follow green pretty closely. You buy what David's saying?
Oh, absolutely. I would also bring up the point that during the conversation, there were really, I'll say, little to nothing referenced with regard to any of the, the green approaches or the design approaches with regard to device-level energy efficiencies. Even the question that was asked with regard to power-efficient to energy efficient power supplies, the response was very, very lame. So I really did not get a strong feeling of full, 100% commitment to the green approach.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys are underwhelmed, particularly with the product side, which I guess if you look at pure plays, guys like Copan, although really, what else does Copan have? But companies that are impressive in that space, like Ferrari or even 3PAR, seem to have a bigger emphasis on things.
Yeah, have a look at some of the newer technologies, Dan. Atrato in Colorado, Zyotech. You mentioned Copan. There's a number of storage companies
who are really committed. Yeah. Nexfan
and
Ferrari is probably one of the strongest companies in terms of very innovative technology, which is just massively more efficient than previous generations.
Sorry, David, who are you saying? Who is that?
Ferrari, they're a large scale server stroke storage vendor. A new product.
Right. They're the Hot Air Rises company.
Yeah, and getting patents on it too.
Let's press on. We also heard from RSA. Chris Young is the senior VP of RSA products. Basically admitted that RSA has some work to do to create a common services platform. A question, are RSA customers better off with RSA as part of EMC? Dennis, do you have any thoughts on that or others?
I've been watching security isn't my primary thing, but I do take a look at it, and I'm not sure I can answer that because RSA I thought was doing well. I mean, people recognize the brand. They use the RSA, the tokens and all the other things. But on the other hand, I think it was a nice move for EMC to pick them up. So, but I'm not an RSA customer per se. So maybe there's some RSA customers on the line.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? And then the flip side, I guess the other question is, what about EMC customers? Are EMC customers better off with RSA integrated as part of EMC? Any thoughts on that?
I have a comment on in general terms. I think their plan of using the RSA technology to beef up the security on the storage side makes a lot of sense and improves their time to market significantly. So from a point of view of providing better storage products and using that technology, I think they're making good use of that. For RSA, of course, they're a much broader set of solutions that they're providing to the marketplace, they should continue to do that almost independently of the storage business itself. It's a much broader portfolio. I think an overall integration of the two parts would be difficult, but if they keep their current strategy of keeping it separate and using the technologies, I think that makes sound business sense for both parts.
Well, it seemed like the pros are a company like EMC has the resources to acquire, invest, and focus on the real problem, which is securing the information rather than necessarily the perimeter, which has been the emphasis in the past, recent years.
Yeah.
And the con might be a captive security shop that makes EMC's products more secure, but not necessarily everyone else's. Any final thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is, in order to succeed in IT, you've got to have an end-to-end solutions and provide the security at all levels of IT. Whether RSA can become a major player in that particular space remains to be seen. And providing the solutions in the storage area will by definition be point solutions. But that's not necessarily bad. If they're good solutions and they solve the most important problem, that gets customers started, and end-to-end architectures in security are still a way off.
Well, EMC paid, I think, $2.1 billion for RSA. It was about a $300 million company at the time. It's probably $500 million today or more. EMC, I think, has stated it wants to make RSA a billion and probably will do that through a combination of organic growth and acquisition. RSA, you know, strategic asset that others wish they had purchased, or distraction?
I think it's a strategic asset.
I would agree.
I agree. Yeah.
Pretty hot area, getting hotter. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about VMware. We heard from Chad Sakic. He told us that most customers are at the light use phase, mostly in test and development. Is that where customers should be, or especially in these tight economic times, should they be driving virtualization further into toward mission critical applications? Is Nick made it on the call? Still no Nick. David, any thoughts on that?
Sure. I think the purchase of VMware was a brilliant acquisition by EMC. So they have made and will continue to make a lot of money from that purchase. In terms of where VMware customers are, I think that's very accurate, and there is a big jump when you go from light applications for development sites or file and print sites or a lot of single on-use servers applications. It's a long way to go from that to going into heavy production where you need to test things. One of the areas that VMware has difficulty when it goes into full production is in the I/O area, in the management of I/O. The I/O goes into just one generalized bucket, and it's very difficult to sort out and manage the different applications under VM and ensure SLAs are being met and manage any problem areas. It's more difficult.
I'm sorry, David. Dennis Martin, can you comment on that from a performance perspective?
We are just now starting to test performance of applications running in the virtualized environment, both for ESX and for Microsoft Hyper-V, and comparing that to what it would be in the native environment where you just run it directly on the hardware. So I don't have a lot of results yet. As I say, we're just getting into it, but I'm expecting at least overall probably a fairly small percentage point hit on performance comparing it if you're running an application natively versus running it in a VM. Let's say you had one VM. But I think David's right. The I/O side is a little bit different, but stay tuned because we're starting to play with things like Exchange Server, SQL Server, SharePoint in particular in those spaces and starting to measure that. So hopefully I'll be able to answer that more with more data here shortly.
Yeah, for a single one, that would be true. What would you say about running multiple applications in that environment?
I think they'll run reasonably well. Just kind of anecdotally, some people were saying, well, should you run your mission-critical database application in a VM environment? And if it's really mission-critical and it takes the whole machine anyway, then you might as well just leave it on a native machine. But there's a lot of room for, you know, putting multiple apps in multiple VMs on a machine. It just kind of depends on what they're doing, and that's kind of what I'm starting to test.
Okay, so, especially in these tight economic times, you hear a lot of CIOs talking about, you know, our goal is to virtualize as much as possible. So, Dennis, we're really interested in what your findings are there. So let's press on. We heard a lot about the cloud. Nick, I'm told you're on. I can see you. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you confirm? Nick?
Can you hear me?
I thought I heard a sign of life there.
Yeah, I thought I heard him.
You have to use your headset, Nick.
I'm using my headset.
Or use a direct telephone.
All right, well, we can't hear you that well, but I got a question on the cloud. We heard a lot about it. Atmos, here's the question. Atmos, interesting experiment, the next big thing, or a big flop? Any thoughts?
Hey,
Dennis, I have a couple of thoughts.
Go ahead, Dennis.
It was real interesting. I kept, when they were giving that presentation, I kept thinking back to the acquisition that EMC made a few years ago of a company called FilePool, which, and that technology ultimately turned into Sentara. So I saw some similarities, not exactly the same thing, but that kind of reminded me of it. But I guess the big question in my mind is, if you have a cloud storage, you know, environment, and you also have your local storage, the customers are going to have to do enough data classification to figure out what would be appropriate to put in the cloud and what needs to stay locally. And I'm not sure where everybody is on that. I'm wondering kind of where the customers are in their data classification strategy, which has to, you know, happen before EMC or anybody else can really do well in the cloud storage, at least in my opinion.
I think that's absolutely correct, Dennis. Well, one of the things that impressed me about the whole approach, their particular API, was the ability to include the classification of where the data should be as part of that API, so that they could, you could keep it within the firewall, for example, or you could allow it to reside on the cloud. So there is an ability to federate both within organizations, and if for people running multiple systems, to be able to federate multiple systems within multiple separate systems within the same overall file space, a global file space. So there's some interesting capabilities within that MOS. The question for me is this a software play or a hardware play? Because the way to market is very different of the two approaches. And to be successful here, they need to drive very hard to make this available on all platforms. I think it would be very difficult to make this available just on one platform. So that's my main concern, or main, I think the main challenge that they have is how to bring that to market and be successful on multiple platforms.
I think you made an excellent point there, David, because what was missing in the presentation was any reference to what they called Hulk. It was out on the press release, and it was very much of a defined earlier version of the Hulk, the way that they came forward with what I could just classify as a JBOD. So they've really come forward with a software solution, and they are downplaying very much the underpinning hardware that they at least originally was included with it. So that's a very interesting question.
I mean, generally, do you guys see that as a negative? I mean, you know, software.
Well, I'm a hardware bigot, so my answer is yes.
I'm not. If this is a software, to me, this is a software play. And if they can provide a software which provides the functionality, and there is EMC and other hardware to go on it, I think they can win their share of hardware as long as they don't try and tie the two together. If you try and tie the two together, then I think that will put a big red flag, and will inhibit their ability to be competitive in the marketplace.
Yeah. Just to say, David, I agree with you 100%.
So, Bill, you were saying that you saw that as a problem, that there was no hardware emphasis. I couldn't really hear that.
It was noted. I found it very noticeable that there was no reference to Hulk, to their InfiniFlex 12,000, whatever they now call it. And it leads me to the conclusion that David has, that indeed it is a software play going forward, and they're de-emphasizing the hardware element, at least as it was presented when Maui Hulk was first announced by Tucci, at the analyst meeting last year?
I guess so. I guess I'm still trying to understand why this is a problem. I mean, software means that we could potentially play on anybody's hardware, better margins.
I'm not saying it is a problem. I'm agreeing with David, saying that it is not a problem just being a software play. in my opinion.
So that's you guys see that as an advantage then?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, sorry to not be clear on that. Okay, any other thoughts on Atmos before we move on? We'd like to open it up to anybody who'd like to share some thoughts or opinions.
This is Nick. Can you hear me now?
You're going to have to yell, Nick.
I'm having technical problems here. I'll be back in a second.
Just yell. We can hear you, but barely.
I think he said he was going to try and adjust some things.
Okay. Let's see. We heard from Andy Cohen, who's EMC's AGC and VP of Compliance. So let's talk a little bit about EMC's approach to e-discovery and file governance. I, for one, was happy to see Andy Cohen not simply advocate archive everything. David Floyd, what did you think of that talk?
I was impressed, and I liked their approach, and I thought that the approach of providing real skills in the area of being fairly agnostic in terms of which software to run things on, and looking at a variety of different software packages. Showed that they were serious about getting into this marketplace. The interesting thing to me was that the whole outfit was in a pre-sales part of the organization, and obviously to scale that, they're going to have to put that into either a services offering and make that self-sufficient and profitable on its own. So as a starting off of generating a archive system, I thought they were approaching it very well. But I would be interested in Gary's comments on that.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't.
Okay, so Gary, do you think that Cohen's message, EMC's message, is stronger than the other archiving players?
Well, I think I had mentioned to you in our
I'm sorry, Gary. Can you please speak up? Just really talk loudly into your phone.
Yeah. Is this okay?
It's better.
Much better.
Just the volume there. After being last week that a lot of the messages from the archiving vendors have gotten a lot more sophisticated, in particular because they're using litigators, outside counsel, and so forth, to do the presentations, who are much more sophisticated than one would imagine non-technologists are. And indeed, people are discovering, no pun intended, that during the meet and confer stage of a litigation, that often the lawsuit is won or lost then, based on the opposing counsel's laying down the ground rules for where discoveries are, well, actually the data map and where the data map is and where the data resides and where it's backed up and so forth. So I think the messages from the vendors, not only EMC, but the Mimosas and the Symantecs and the Xanteses and the IBMs of the world, is getting much more sophisticated and much more focused on the e-discovery piece, is that it's driving a lot more of the archiving interest in archiving systems or the need.
Okay. And let's
and I also thought that their emphasis on getting rid of data so that it wasn't a liability was interesting to hear that coming from a storage vendor.
Well,
okay,
that's a message that is coming from the litigation environment, I think.
Yeah.
From the outside councils and so forth.
So in the summary, I want to come back and talk a little bit more about this, but I do want to make sure we touch on all the important high points of the meeting. There was a big emphasis on consumer, a little bit on Mosey, but especially iOmega, and they demoed the iX2, which is a consumer file store, shared file store that has Bluetooth embedded. Joel Schwartz made the case that this is a big market, and it's all about brand and distribution channels and ease of use. Bill Mottram, that doesn't really sound like EMC, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it comes back to one of your earlier questions with regard to the prognosis of for success with EMC going forward. The question I have with regard to this consumer market or segment that they're going after is whether or not EMC really has it in its DNA to be successful in the consumer marketplace. Or is this new venture, is it going to be positive ad going forward, or is it going to be an expensive distraction from its core business? That to me is a significant question that is really going to underline their potential for success going forward.
So couldn't you argue this is a strategic play with EMC's Digital Echo, Deco, bringing together the cloud infrastructure, file management from Pi, and services like Mosey? Why not EMC? Isn't this a smart diversification play into a space that, according to IDC, 70% of the information is created by individuals? I mean, what's the risk? You're saying it could take their eye off the ball? Is that your concern? Other thoughts on that?
That is where I'm coming from. That is a concern that I would express. And the skill sets that reside within EMC are not consumer. Now, can they acquire them? Can they recruit them? Can they embed them into the EMC infrastructure? That remains to be seen. I've been involved in many companies where they have tried to move outside of their core competence, largest companies, and it has turned out to be a distraction. It's turned out to be a dilution of their ability to be successful in their core area of expertise. So I look at it as a big question mark, and I think they're taking a significant gamble.
Just to be contrarian for a second, I was very impressed by the comparison between the requirements of the consumer and the requirements of the small business, and the really overlap in requirements and function, and I think consumer these days does include a significant number of small businesses and a significant number of SOHO as well as consumer. And from that perspective, if they want to have products which can help future organizations for their people at home and for their for small businesses growing, then it does make some sense, significant sense, for them to have a products that will fill that space, both for the enterprise looking out and for small businesses. So if they can crack it from an organizational point of view, and I share your concerns, Bill, I think that it now makes more sense to me than it did before I went to the meeting.
Okay, I just wanted to let everybody know. So EMC, no question, is serious about this. They just appointed Harold Kodesh, president of EMC's cloud infrastructure business, and including, I think, the CEO of Deco. So there's clearly some investments here. It remains to be seen how they play out. But I, for one, think it's potentially risky, but very interesting diversification, and particularly given the that IDC data that I cited. I want to go rapid fire and then come back and cover some of the other areas that we may not have time to cover completely, but I absolutely want to get to Flash, Avamar, Dedupe, and maybe circle back to content management. But just let's start with Flash. Nick, I'm told that people can hear you fine, and I'm maybe the culprit here, but let me start. Anything new you heard, Nick, around Flash?
Just that the speaker got confused between MLC and SLC. I thought the presentation was a
okay. Spot. Anybody else?
Without anything new. Can you guys hear me?
You're a little bit faint.
There, yes.
I'm on my third headset here.
I can make a couple of comments. I spoke to some people separately after the presentation about Flash, because that was one of my interest areas. Obviously, from a performance standpoint, that there's a whole opportunity of things to do there. One of the questions I asked was, if you take a storage array and it doesn't matter which kind, which brand, either within EMC or this could be applied to anybody. And you said, and a customer had the money to do this and said, what if I take a full array and I said, instead of populating with spinning disk drives, I populate the whole thing with flash drives. Can the controller handle it? And the answer I got back, at least for one of the products, because he was more of a specialist in one than the other from EMC, was, yeah, they don't recommend that at this point. They will guarantee that everything will work fine up to a certain point. But, of course, flash has a whole different performance characteristic than spinning disk. And I guess the main thing I'm thinking about is now that we have flash at least getting reasonably approachable in terms of price and availability, it's we can start to rethink some things that we have had to, that we've sort of been forced to think a certain way because of mechanical disk drives. Maybe we can rethink some things about how we do things in IT now that we can get rid of this mechanical motion. So I think there's a whole great opportunity of things with flash.
I really agree with that, Dennis, and I think that EMC have done some great work in getting this product to market and getting it in a way that's simple to implement because it's as a flash drive. But I think that as the price of the flash comes down, there's going to be some major re-architecting of storage systems in order to take advantage of it. And that architecting is going to put a premium on knowing where the hotspots are and being able to move those dynamically to, for example, flash drives. And if that can be achieved, then there is huge cost. And
okay, anything else on flash you guys wanted to cover, David?
No, I think I said the most important thing, things. The other interesting thing about flash is that it's going to have a total systems impact, because if you can reduce the I/O times that amount, there's going to be an impact on the system as a whole. So again, the configuration and the importance of storage to the configuration as a whole is going to go up. And so that's from a storage industry point of view is quotes a good thing.
Let's touch on Avamar and Dedupe. A great story there, right? I mean, it's especially emphasizing VMware. Can EMC knock out Data Domain as the top dog in Dedupe? Any opinions there?
I think that the Avamar has a very good role to play in certain market segments, particularly where the update rates are lower and where the changes aren't that high. I think the Data Domain plays in a different space to Avamar on the whole. There's obviously some overlap. But they've made great strides, and I think the area where they've been very successful is in linking, in going after people looking at backup in a VMware environment. Clearly, VMware puts pressure on the backup systems. Often they need to change the way they do things. And Avamar has, in most VMware environments, has some very, very good solutions and very good way of doing it. And given that they're putting in VMware, then the overhead of changing the backup environment is often required and can be taken at that time. So by focusing that inflection point for change, they're making great strides and offering a good solution. In terms of whether they're going to compete with Data Domain, I think the two are on mainly separate tracks.
How about the product that IBM bought recently?
Diligent?
Yes.
Data Domain and Diligent are two similar products. Diligent probably is aims at the higher end of the spectrum, and Data Domain have made things simpler and focused slightly more at the lower end of the market, but there's a lot of overlap between those products, and they're functionally very similar.
All right, we have 10 minutes here. There were two presentations that maybe were not sort of mainstream. They weren't mainstream product presentations, but they were very interesting competitive differentiators, and I wanted to touch upon them. One of the most impressive, I think, for customers was that of Todd Pavone, I believe is how you say his name. He's the VP of Global Solutions. His group creates solution guides, or what I would call cookbooks, in areas like Exchange, SharePoint, SQL, SAP, Oracle, virtualization, e-discovery, physical security, and these are detailed best practice documents that are solutions that are developed in the lab and, I guess, in the field, and they represent, you know, amazing customer freebies. So how should and can customers take advantage of these testing and validation services? Any thoughts there about that capability and how customers can apply it?
This is Dennis. I was very excited to hear that and then find out that it was all free. there's just a wealth of stuff there, and I would just say everybody should jump on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a capability that is going to reduce customer risk. It's going to speed implementation, and in the storage world anyway, I think it's the most comprehensive that I've seen. The only thing I've seen that's comparable is IBM's, you know, efforts around Redbooks and things of that nature, because HP has, with its customer-focused testing, some similar capabilities, but not nearly to the breadth and depth that EMC demonstrated. Is that fair? People agree with that, or?
Fully agree.
Yes, okay. And I think a comparison with IBM's Redbook, that's a fair comparison. That should give people an idea of what's out there.
And that's a pretty impressive standard. The second was Charles Fan, who heads up EMC's China Center of Excellence, and they have these centers of excellence in I believe China and India and Russia and maybe one other spot around the world. He had some interesting stats. He told us that by 2040, China is going to be the largest economy in the world, ahead of the U.S. and followed by number three, India. And it's fair to say EMC has its bases covered in these three regions. They've got 4,000 engineers outside of the United States at these centers of excellence. And in China, engineers make between $3,000 and $24,000 annually. And these obviously are pretty talented individuals. How important are these centers of excellence from a customer's perspective? Any thoughts on that? Just a way to cut costs? Is that all this represents? Or is this a strategic differentiator that's sustainable? No big deal?
Well, I think it's important for a company like EMC to invest around the world because there are some smart people outside of, you know, where we're used to seeing them. I mean, you know, China, India, all these other places. He mentioned that he's got some great talent in the different areas, and he went on to mention, you know, specifically some areas, you know, in Russia they're good at this, and in India they're good at this, and China they're good at this. I think it makes sense to just invest there and you know, build a presence there, and, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Is there a potential backlash here? I mean, you know, EMC and others like IBM, you know, I'm going to use a pejorative, shipping jobs offshore and transferring knowledge to thousands of workers overseas, accelerating the competitiveness of our nation's economic adversaries. I mean, could the new administration squeeze and potentially penalize firms for the strategy?
Well, I know that they did make the point, Charles Fan did make the point about intellectual property, and he said, you know, there's some things they do there in cooperation with universities, and there's a certain amount of computer science there, but it's not necessarily EMC proprietary, you know, secrets, and they try to keep the secrets, you know, in their own areas. You know, yeah, there's always a question about, is it offshoring, is it taking jobs away. I kind of look at it as it's making new jobs available in different places, and then people can cross-pollinate. So I suppose you could argue there's an offshoring problem, but I kind of look at it more as an opportunity.
I would agree with the statement looking to look at it as an opportunity. As you look at those marketplaces, that those environments, you can see that they are going to be the most vibrant growth areas over the next decade. If you don't have a strong physical presence within those marketplaces, I don't believe you will have the success that you would be looking for. So being there is a signal that they are serious in the marketplace and they wish to be a major player. It's slightly different from just looking at outsourcing U.S. jobs over to those territories. No, they're over there to expand within those territories.
So I think it's pretty safe to say that those of us who saw this presentation were pretty impressed, and it's a capability that that bears watching, that only a few companies that are large enough are really going to be able to match. Is that, you guys agree with that? Is that fair?
I would agree with that statement, yes.
Now, in the second half of the second day, it was comprised of breakout sessions, which included information storage, content management and archiving, and information security. I just want to open it up to you guys. Any last thoughts there? And then I'll summarize.
I was in the storage track. I would just make a quick comment on the – one more comment on Flash. They talked about tier zero and, you know, even faster storage. And when you couple that with storage management software and APIs that allow people to actually move things around, I think they're working in the right direction there.
Hey, somebody just fired a question off on Wikibon. IDC's disk tracker has EMC dominating in Unix environments and a follower in Windows environments. Do you think EMC will do anything to close the Windows OS gap? Also, please comment on their commitment to Microsoft Exchange.
I can talk at least about Exchange. They are very committed to Exchange. If you go out and look at the for example, at the Microsoft Exchange Solution Review Program, ESRP, and we're involved in some of that testing as well. This is a program that Microsoft put together where you test various storage configurations in Exchange with, you know, a certain number of mailboxes and how well does it handle it, and then disclose all the information about it. If you go out to that site, EMC has more entries on it than anybody. So they're very, very serious about Exchange. But it is interesting.
And they're very serious about countering some of Microsoft's suggestions that they should just use direct attached storage.
Well, yeah, there's always that argument about whether it's even for Exchange or any other application, the local storage versus a SAN storage, and you know, that's probably a topic for another time, but they're very big on that. Now, that said, of course, EMC owns VMware, and Microsoft has just come out with Hyper-V. So in some areas they compete, and in some areas they work together. But certainly in Exchange, I'd say EMC is very big on Exchange.
Okay, Gary, I'll give you the final word on content management. Any final thoughts there before I wrap?
Well, back in May, Mark Lewis talked about a couple of different initiatives they were going to have for 2008 going into 2009, including some code-worded products such as Janus and Magellan and stuff like that, and he announced that they were working on the next generation of email archiving. They talked about capabilities for Web 2.0 and collaboration tools, and also capabilities around the enterprise client capabilities for Documentum. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that they talked about are still under a non-disclosure or still not available, so I can't really talk to them specifically. But I think it's appropriate to say that apropos of the comments that EMC made on client retention, on their focus on information management, that the whole CMA space, content management and archiving, is key for them because it's one way to capture and keep, retain a lot of those clients and a lot of those client dollars that might be going to some of the other major players who are also entering the space in a big way in 2008, including our friends over at Oracle and Google and Dell and HP and IBM, and then the two market share leaders who have also announced new generation systems. At least Xantas has Xantas Autonomy, and also the KVS folks who were part of Symantec. So, and they also announced a number of capabilities that they would have, that they do have around SharePoint, which would only emphasize, again, their commitment to the Exchange environment, in particular things like content.
Sorry, could you speak up?
Content okay. services, archive services, records, records capabilities, and also document and connection for MOS. So to net it out, the direction is there. They want to keep the customers. There's a huge market for it driven by e-discovery and also regulatory compliance enforcement, and they're not quite there yet with those products.
Okay, I've got to wrap here. We're at the top of the hour. So I'd ask everybody, well, I can just mute everybody. Let me just do that and then I'll wrap. Okay, first of all, I want to thank our guests today, Dennis Martin, Nick Allen. I apologize that we couldn't hear you, but we do have some good quibs from you the other day, and we'll get those in here. Gary McFadden, Bill Mottram, and David Foy, I appreciate you sharing your experiences from the meeting, and as well, thanks to Josh Krischer, and there were a couple other comments, that I couldn't really hear who that was, but thank you for your participation. Let's summarize. Here are the key points that I heard. EMC's analyst meeting is consistently one of the most well-attended and informative events in the industry. The company's a high performer, and the Wikibon community expects that that's going to continue, even in this downturn. EMC's expanding its portfolio into far-flung places like the cloud and consumer markets, which may bring some risks in terms of spreading itself thin, but I think in general, the Wikibon community believes that some of these strategic investments could pay returns, and customers should look for EMC to be a leader or fast follower in many of these emerging spaces. EMC's core product story seems to be taking a back seat to a solutions emphasis, largely enabled by a giant portfolio. I think it's safe to say integration is going to remain a challenge, and customers should not expect seamless integration across EMC's core product lines. Exploitation is going to continue to require customers to either buy external services or some internal effort. RSA is a big differentiator for EMC, and even though they've been slow on unifying a security platform, traditional EMC customers are going to see substantial benefits through integration. Non-EMC storage platforms are going to have to leverage APIs and the ecosystem, and it remains to be seen how facile that integration will be. EMC owns VMware, and it's pretty clear it's a dominant force in the virtualization space, and even though VMware has to continue to dance in the public dance of independence, EMC is in charge of the management team and direction of the company, and is going to continue to compete vigorously in that space and is doing pretty well. Very well. EMC's content management archiving business is competitive, but it suffers from a lot of the same woes as other CMA suppliers. These solutions are complicated, they're expensive, they're difficult to scale, and the solutions that you buy today might not be viable tomorrow. So you'd better remain flexible and open to adopting new technologies as they enter the market. EMC's green story, strong as a corporate citizen, not as strong as a product portfolio innovator. Worse than anybody else in pure storage, not really. Full commitment from the CEO, not yet apparent. A dizzying array of information to consume in 2 days, which really underscores EMC's breadth and depth. Impressive, yes, very. Continued leadership for the foreseeable future, little question of that. Easy to manage, hardly. Game over for other storage suppliers, not by a long shot. So in the next 24 hours, we'll be posting several research notes on Wikibon related to this call and other specific technical and organizational actions. Please go to wikibon.org and read the notes, participate, ask a question, post a wiki tip, comment on the articles, and listen for this podcast, which will be available in the Peer Insight Archive, and we'll also do a summary mashup of this podcast. Thanks very much for your attendance today, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.